his usual humorous way, just said he wasn't sure how ready he'd be for the playoffs. And I think his words were, "Hard to see myself playing playoff hockey that quickly." What do you see in Patrick?
It kind of looks exactly like everybody else. Like, there's not, I probably would have anticipated a slightly bigger gap in their games. You know, like we've got, like I had said before, there's a spectrum of where I thought they would be based on how much ice time they had had, whatever city they were in. But he looks good. Like, he's shooting the puck, right? He's running his routes. Like, he doesn't look like he had, today we had pretty darn good pace and we got some battling in today. And yeah, like he looks right on. Like, I guess, I don't think anybody looks the way they're going to in about 2 weeks. We all expect that, right? That's part of building. But he is, relative to the rest of the hockey team, where they all are. So he looks good.
Yeah, okay. Moving to the blue line, what kind of feel do you have for that group compared to the feel you had heading into the first training camp this year?
Quite a bit better, actually, especially day one. Yeah, I mean, we've added some players back there over the course of the year, and then I don't know that we ever had the full benefit because there's always somebody banged up, and now we've got a pretty good bunch of guys out on the ice. So that's a general assessment. We like our back end quite a bit more than we did when maybe we started the year. We haven't done a lot of defenseman-specific drills early, so but, you know, when you're watching today, Josh Morrissey jumps out of here, right? He looks, excuse me, real quick, real good stick. But we'll get those guys testing. It's all a little bit more as we go here. Kind of judge your D by what your forwards are able to do to them in practice. And there was a good balance there. We had our D shut the forwards down a bunch. We had our forwards beat the D a little bit here today. So it's good balance.
Did you run fitness testing like you would in a normal start of a camp? No.
You know what, Paul? We had planned not to, and then it was mandated. So there was no choice given to any fitness testing on or off ice other than the standard health assessments the players go, you know, the EKGs, all the things that where the doctor clears them to practice, but there was no fitness testing allowed. And I hadn't planned on doing any.
Hey, Paul, it's Josh Clipperton with the Canadian Press. Just wondering, I'm sure you've answered this a bunch of times over the last year, but Patrick, what did he show you this season with how he raised his game?
Just growth is the word, development and growth. It's hard to explain when you get a young man like that that has such success in something specific like scoring goals. But in so many ways, he wouldn't be any different than, other than that, maybe any different than any other 18-year-old, especially coming from Europe. It's a different style of hockey. It's a far different level of the game. It happens so much faster. This is the year that he took a really big jump in his 5-on-5 game, his all-around play, right? So there's a big chunk of the game of hockey where nothing actually happens unless you don't do your job. And he's gotten to be quite a bit better at just doing the job, plays without the puck, or if he's the first guy on the forecheck, he needs to do something so the other four players can move. Most skilled players or uniquely skilled players that you get into the NHL, they've never really had an awareness of that what they do changes what everybody else around them does. This game is so fast that decisions are made far more quickly and based on what's going on around you. And that's a brand new concept for a young player, that what they do directs the other four players. And he made great strides this year. Just simple things as well, getting pucks out along the wall. Some of that's just maturity and confidence. You don't try to make a play every time you touch the puck. You know, as we say, the other team gets paid too. Sometimes they leave you a certain decision and you need to make that decision based on what they've shown you. And he's matured in that area.
In terms of the bubble, I mean, and having to win 19 games, no fans, how much are you going to focus on the mental side of it with your guys? We all talk about it, being away from families, but just the mental aspect of how much of a challenge this is going to be.
Quite a bit. Not so much in day one, right? We don't want to give our best speeches then. We want to build. But we will reference our year a fair amount in terms of how we handled adversity injuries, difficulties that we faced, and there were numerous, and it got to the point that it was almost comical, some of the things that we were going through, the number of injuries, the strange injuries, things like that. So we will reference the will and the spirit and the determination that our team showed daily throughout the regular season. I was just about to say last year, in this particular season, and try to use that. We've overcome quite a bit. They have a nice template in terms of how to handle that.
Have you just sort of piggybacking off that, just the uniqueness of all this, you're going to be in the same hotel as your qualifying round opponent. You know, you might run into them at breakfast or in the elevator after a hard fought game. Like, it's almost like a massive minor hockey tournament for the NHL. What's that all going to be like, do you think?
Well, part of that is, I don't know, like, right. Everything that you just said is completely true. There's no travel, right? In some ways, this could be some of the best hockey that you've ever seen. If we can all get past the knock the rust off from the 4-month layover and we get up to speed, you got playoff hockey and nobody's getting off the plane at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? So you've got guys that are singularly focused on what there's no distractions. If you had laid that scenario out to me 20 years ago, I would say there's a better chance of a fist fight in the lobby than like a collective video game being played across teams, right? Like there could be give me a video game that's popular so I can finish this sentence. Okay. Still Fortnite, still good? Yeah. There's three old guys in the room. We still think Fortnite's good. But you know what I mean? There could be this big tournament going on between teams. Yeah. I don't know what's the answer, but it will be unique. We know that.
Paul, Tim Campbell here from NHL.com. Just another question about Patrick. As the guy in charge, did you take any offense to him kind of publicly wishing for more responsibility and more ice time?
Oh, had I taken offense to that, I would have been greatly offended 20 years ago and every year since, right? Like, that is standard. So if it doesn't make the paper, I mean, it's not just guys like Patrick, right? It's guys that are sitting on your fourth line that get into the league and figure, hey, now's my time to be on the first line. So that's, I wonder a lot of times if it's not requisite to greatness. Right. Like these guys want more. They want to play more. They want to play more minutes. Right. And what is true is also true of the guy that you are playing more minutes. Right. So at the time, in terms of an offensive role, you've got Blake Wheeler banging in 91 points. Like he'd like to play too. So I'm not offended by that. It is standard. And I don't know that I've ever met a player that said, hey, I'm happy not playing more. Right. It's the right thing to say, I want to play more. And even to feel that you deserve to play more, because what happens is 2 years later, then they get it. So, no, I didn't take any offense to it. And I think that great players have to have that belief in themselves that they deserve to be on the ice all the time.
Also, how much longer do you think you'll have to go practicing with just two goalies? And do you think we'll see Laurent, or do you have an expectation we'll see Laurent Brossoit anytime soon?
That was very nicely done. I think probably on the outer edge of asking a question the different way. I'm not allowed to speak about anybody that's not on the ice.
I tried.
It was good, though. Respectfully done.
Paul Kenweeb, Sportsnet.ca. Just going back to training camp, I mean, Patrick kind of joked about it, happy that he has an opportunity to actually participate in a training camp. How do you think he handled the contract stalemate going into season, and what are the big benefits to having him and Kyle be part of the group now rather than have that kind of uncertainty that you had to deal with during that first month?
Yeah, so it's uncertainty, and then when you're talking about two young men who've never been through it, it's completely – I think it's a lot more difficult. I think you, and I might be wrong, this is anecdotal, that you used to see like a big contract was on a 25-year-old guy, right? That was their free agency big contract where there was kind of, but those guys have been around enough to know that this is not personal. This is happening to young players. They've been in the league 1 or 2 years. They've done great things. So they're getting this huge contract and it's harder for them to process it. I didn't see any of it. You know, like when they, both those guys showed up at the start of the year, I thought they were behind it. I thought they were behind it for almost about a month. The things that we're working on, the things that we're changing or adding to our game now, they're in on the ground floor. They're hanging around the guys. It's just one less. I can't imagine how well you couldn't be in a contract dispute in a COVID situation. So there's enough going on here now that it's nice for those guys just to come to the rink and play some hockey.
Sure. Just from an approach standpoint, I mean, how did you make the determination on the last couple of guys as part of your main group today?
It was kind of by numbers more than anything else. Some of this is just philosophy. When you sound like a small thing, a 7 defenseman group gets more reps than an 8. That sounds obvious, but it almost feels like it's exponential. You put 8 defensemen on the ice. Okay, Ken, I'm going to scrap the entire answer I gave you, and it was solely based on the drills that we were running. That's where the starting point on this was. We knew we were going to get into slightly heavier contact, and the drills were continuous. So I wasn't blowing the whistle and bringing them over to the board. They were going up and down the ice. So we needed a certain number of people, and that's how I did it.
Oh, that's fair. Will there be a competition element for those last couple spots on the periphery? Do you see that, or is it just a little bit too difficult in these situations?
Well, there's not a tryout, right? I've got, for the most part, I've got my line structured today, and you can lose your job if you're not performing, if you don't get one exhibition game. There's definitely a competition, but this is where it's real. The real competition is if you go on any kind of extended run, and maybe not even an extended run, you're going to go deep into your group. I mean, I don't know how you can take this amount of time off, come back in, play one exhibition game, and not have injuries. We're going to have injuries. So all of these guys are going to get a chance. What they do between now and that opportunity opening up, the depth chart on that could change. But in terms of where we're at right now, when I'd say, okay, these are the 12 guys I'm most likely starting with up front, and these are the 6 guys that I'm most likely starting with, I've got that set. You would have to have that set when training camp comes. And then you are watching those extra guys very close. Who's 13, right? Who's the 7th defenseman? Well, that will play itself out here going into Calgary.
Thank you.
Paul, Sean with Sportsnet here. Clearly you transitioned into a more intense practice here today. I know you'll have to talk with your medical staff and see how the players came out of that. But from what you saw on the ice today, did you see what you wanted or needed to see from your group?
I did. Today was the first one I enjoyed. I mean, I liked the first two because of what they were. I think we got accomplished what we wanted to. 2 groups, lots of reps, no defending. It was just kind of skating, passing, shooting, but in really defined drills. So today we also got back to drills that they've done before. So it was way faster, right? We got to some banging. And that's kind of, you know, we'll start to add players and lines to each group. When you put 4 lines on the ice like we did today, they can go harder, longer. They get a better work to rest ratio, so they drive harder in all the drills. As we get closer to scrimmaging, and we'll start to look at that toward this 5-day block that we have before a day off, we'll get closer to scrimmaging, and then you there's a good chance to see all the D and all the forwards on the ice at the same time.
So, Paul, you said those first 2 days were based on, you know, conversations you had with your players and what they were able to do leading up to this camp. Can you give us any insight into how many of your guys didn't have access or had limited access to ice time?
You know what? I'm going to say that a good chunk of them had it. It was, I think early on, I mean, clearly early on, everybody recovered. There wasn't a lot of skating, with the understanding we would come back and we'd get yourself, I don't know, 5-10 days to get rolling again. And then as it got further out, depending on the situation they're in, the restrictions from local governments came in. So, right, rinks got shut down. And then we had some guys that really weren't able to skate. The rinks just weren't open for them to skate. we had some guys that in certain areas they were able to get on the ice. I don't know if I can, I would say, I'm going to say 2/3 of our guys were able to get on the ice on a pretty regular basis.
I'm guessing that 7-day quarantine though played a role in maybe that decision.
Well, the 14-day quarantine, the original quarantine, it did factor in into players staying where they were. And that's a 2-week block of training. So once they get the idea that we're coming back, those guys want to start training hard. It's tough to take 14 days off. That's long. The 7-day quarantine for our group, we did it with everybody. So it wasn't, we didn't distinguish between a player that was coming from a hot spot or a player that was considered coming from a low risk area like Western Canada. Every person in our group that's here went through that process. And it was one of those sacrifices that you make, because, and I guess you could say that we had a bunch of guys that were coming from low risk areas that maybe wouldn't have had to quarantine, that you'd get a slight competitive advantage because they could work out maybe a little few days more. We just didn't think the risk possibly would certainly outweigh any advantage. So we shut everybody down, which turned out to be about 8 days.
Paul Mike McIntyre. Just a couple of quick ones
here. Last to question again?
It is. I'm out of the bullpen. Yeah, that's okay. My traditional role. This is actually hot off the press as the three Coach of the Year finalists just came out a few minutes ago, all from the Eastern Conference, which is maybe a little unusual that there's nobody from the West that's nominated. Does that maybe just speak to how wide open the West is and the parity that kind of exists?
Like, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know who the three are. Congratulations. Congratulations for those guys. I would say the better, it'd be kind of like you're asking me about COVID, and I would say you're better off asking my trainer. Hang on. This is what high tech is, people. I got, look at that. And now I got it. Yeah, well done.
I was going to read them to you, but.
Yeah. Boy, there's a bunch. But there's a bunch this year. Like, Mike Sullivan did a hell of a job, didn't he? Mm-hmm. The injury they faced, boy, and all those guys are good too. There's a whole bunch of them. I don't know the answer to the question. I didn't get a vote.
There's going to be a lot of challenges, obviously, with the return to play. I just wonder for your group, now that we know the game times, Paul, the first three games of the Flame series are going to be within a 4-day span, and you're playing at three very different times. Central time starts 9:30, 1:45, and 5:30. You think I have those correct, or 1:30 and 5:45. What's that going to be like to try and find a routine when you're kind of moving all over the day like that?
I don't know that you find one, right? So you know, we've played, if you look back at our kind of playoff history over the last couple of years, there's been, for me, quite a bit of movement in our times, and that's new, right? That
right.
10 years ago, it was always, you know, 7:30. So the players are more aware of that. We have certain routines that we would like to do maybe on like that 8 o'clock start feels different. It does. It feels different than the 7. You know, I don't remember an afternoon game, but off the top of my head, but we don't even know what the rest of that, the whole schedule, right? What our practice day times are, what morning skate times look like. So we aren't right now able to build out what we think that final week is going to look like yet in terms of off days, all of it. We're still waiting. And that's, I mean, we're comfortable with that. We feel that that's what this part of the challenge, and the, I guess we'll use the word opportunity to, is when you get your information, handle it the best, deal with it the best. But I think the original question is answered. If it's, I don't think we're ever going to get to any kind of routine.